We thank you that we worship a risen Savior today. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified. Be glorified in our lives, O God. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we just can't thank him enough today.
No, right.
Or any day. Amen. We just can't thank you enough, Lord.
Amen.
We love you. And thank you, Lord, for your love you're pouring out on each person here, Lord. And on those listening and on those who couldn't be here today, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're pouring out your love today upon your people across this nation. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen, amen. Welcome once again to River of Life. We're so glad that you're here. And Apostle Leonard and I extend a warm welcome to all of you on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. And it's an honor to gather together with all of you on this special occasion. And churches all over the world will come together to remember and celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 It's a Sunday across America where many people gather. Many, many people gather. And so we pray, Father, for just such a refreshing, as Pastor Cheryl prophesied this morning, a refreshing, a fresh start across America for the church, for the people of God, but especially for our River of Life family. Somebody say amen. The title of our message today is Made New in Christ, because the resurrection made everything new. It may go without saying, but the effects of the resurrection have reverberated throughout history. And Jesus' defeat of sin and death has changed everything. And it's remarkable that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us as well. It changes us. It renews us. It breathes fresh life into us. And that is what is happening in our midst today. The Lord is breathing fresh life into us today. Because the key to this transformative power is faith. Do you have faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's the key. That's the key. Resurrection morning. You know, last week we talked about what Jesus was going to be facing this week, leading up to the crucifixion. So on resurrection morning, it began with some sadness because the Messiah had died and Jesus had been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had been betrayed by one of his inner circles, and he was beaten and he had an unfair trial. And he was sentenced to death by crucifixion and hung between two thieves. And within hours, Jesus breathed his last breath and died. And with him, you see, this is where the sadness came in, died the hopes and the dreams of those who had followed him, because they believed he was the one who would usher in the kingdom of God and make everything right. But now they were mourning his death. They thought the kingdom of God would come immediately and be established in their midst, and the Roman government would be done away with. But that's not how it went. And so when Jesus died, they took his body off the cross. They took him into a dark, cold tomb, and that is where they left him. And it seemed like the end to everyone, and it felt like it was so final. But what no one could see coming was that it was just the beginning. 3 days his body laid in the tomb. And so, you know, in 3 days, what do they say? Within 3 days, the news cycle completely disappears. The last catastrophe or whatever was going on, people totally forget about within 3 days. If we had a list of everything that has gone on just since the beginning of the year that we reviewed, it would be shocking. But they had gone, the disciples had just gone back to life, more than likely. And any hope that they had was buried. Because this massive tomb, stone had been moved in front of the tomb to cover the entrance where Jesus lay. So their hope was like sealed. And then the first day of the week began to dawn. And that's where we're going to pick up our reading. In Matthew 28, we're going to read through verses 8, and then we're just going to have a short message on this. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Verses 7 and 8. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. So the Bible tells us that at dawn, the women named Mary were going to the grave. And in other parts of the gospel, it shares that they were going to anoint his body. And on the way, they were having this discussion because they had watched the stone be moved by several strong men into place to seal the tomb. And they were talking among themselves, trying to figure out, how in the world are we going to get this stone rolled away to anoint the Lord's body? And obviously, they had done this before with other members of their families. They had gone to anoint bodies. And so they knew what to expect, and they had their oils with them. But their main discussion was the stone that had been moved in front of the tomb. And so, and they were talking, too, about the guards that were assigned there. So what was the chance that they could ever get in? The question was, we probably can't. And so they were worrying and discussing this on their way. But when the three women got there, there was this earthquake. Suddenly, the ground shook. Praise team just sang about it. The ground shook. And an angel came from heaven and rolled that stone away. And just the appearance of the angel was shocking. The scripture says it was like lightning, and his clothes were bright white. And the guards were watching, and they were so afraid. It said they fell out. And also, the women were also afraid. But the angel spoke words of comfort and said, "Do not be afraid." So the women had gone to care for Jesus' lifeless body. And when they went into the tomb, he wasn't there. It was empty. He was risen. It wasn't a time for fear and sadness, but it was a time for joy. And the women ran off to find the other disciples so they could share the good news with them. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very basis of our faith. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're just wasting our time here today and every Sunday. In the verses that we just read, there aren't that many words, but did you notice how they are full of words on things beyond nature? The earthquake, the angels, the radiant clothes, and Jesus raising from the dead. You know, people tend to see and think about what is possible, and they resist what they assume is not possible. The plain and simple fact is this: in the resurrection, we are confronted by God's possibilities and not our own. God's possibilities and not our own. As the Lord said this morning, He is refreshing us. He's making things new. He is touching our lives. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. And it might have ran through your mind all the troubles that's going on in your life and all the responsibilities that you have. But the Lord wants you to know that you're being confronted today by resurrection power, which is God's possibility. With God, all things are possible. So the resurrection confronts our fears and offers us joy. You know, we live in a world where it's really easy to find ourselves in a similar place as the women in the story, as they were walking and discussing and worrying about what was taking place and what they could do about it. And I made just a little list today about some of the things I've heard on the news cycle. Does anyone else watch the news cycle? If you listen to CNN and Fox for very long, you know you can have some mental anguish. Because these are some of the things I wrote down. What about the economy? What about the banking situation? How about all the interest rates climbing? What about Russia and Ukraine, China, North Korea, Taiwan? What about the spy balloon? What about the nations of Israel, Jordan, Syria, and Egypt? What about the insecurity of Social Security? How about COVID, cancer, heart attacks, murders? Think about the borders at Mexico, Canada. How about the cry for gun control, the atomic nuclear weapons, and now the threats of artificial intelligence, AI? You know, we don't have to think very long. This is just from this week's news cycle. And I didn't say anything about the mass murders, did I? But we don't have to think very long about what's going on in this world to find something to worry about and to be anxious about. But the question is, who will roll the stone away? God can roll the stone away. His resurrection power is about His possibilities and what He can do. Because when we look at the news cycle, we can pray. And that's the main thing, we can pray. Because only God can change the hearts of men. Only God can change what is going on. And often I pray, Lord, release Your warring angels into these situations, into these towns, into these cities. Surround our first responders and our police officers. Lord, we've got to pray because our God is a God of possibilities and He will release His angels on assignment. We release them every day over our family, over our children, over our church, over everything that concerns us because the angels come alongside the people of God to serve them. You see, it's a realm we don't see. So we tend to think what's possible if we can see it. But get a glimpse of what God is trying to get us to do is to see beyond our natural eyes and see with our spiritual eyes what He sees and the many possibilities that He has for each one of us. You know, when you think about the news cycle, Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So there are many people that are filled with anxiety and fear because of the circumstances. They think their circumstances won't change. Maybe you're faced with a difficult marriage and you feel that it's not going to be rescued. Or maybe there is a diagnosis that you have that the doctor spoke over you that you don't think that there's any hope. For many of us, our lives are dominated, if we allow it, by anxiety and fear. And so this morning, the first thing you need to hear is what the angel of the Lord said. The angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The resurrection confronts our fears. The empty tomb reveals the mighty power of God that was not just a reality for Jesus then, but it's a reality for us today. Romans 8:11. Read this scripture with me. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection is a source of great joy for Christians. We're filled with joy because the resurrection power is able to make everything new. The empty tomb means your past can be made new. And the empty tomb means your hope for the future can be made new. The empty tomb means your life can be made new. You know, joy is a byproduct of hope. Hope that if Jesus has risen from the grave, then through our belief in him, there is nothing that is impossible for us either. D.L. Moody shared a story about a young girl. She was 15, and she had a stroke, and she was totally paralyzed on one side of her body, and the stroke had caused her to go nearly blind. And her parents had shared this story with him. They said that the family doctor came, and as they all stood by her bedside, thinking that she wasn't quite awake, the doctor said, "Your daughter has seen her best days. I'm so sorry. Your poor child." And she spoke up from the bed and said, "No, doctor. My best days are yet to come when I see King Jesus in his beauty." This is our hope. Christ rose from the dead to give us a pledge of our own rising. The resurrection is a great antidote for the fear of death. Nothing else can take its place. So no matter where you find yourself today, the empty tomb pushes back against your fear and reminds us that the best is yet to come, regardless of what is coming. The best is yet to come when you are in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is alive. And I thought of the scripture in Romans 14:8. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So let's just say, I belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to him. So a proper response to the resurrection is faith. Faith is a word that we use a lot in church. We have faith for all kinds of things. But the kind of faith the Bible is talking about is a deep trust in something or someone that cannot be explicitly proven. Because once the tomb was found empty, it was unexplainable. So why we have so much faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his power, that he's watching over us, taking care of us, guiding us, is it cannot all be explained, but it is a knowing, it's a trust that we have in the Word of God, because if the Word of God says it, it's true. And that has to be our resolve. If the Word of God says this, it's true. A lot of people will try to talk you out of what the Word of God says because they have a different philosophy, especially about creation. Different philosophy. But what the Word of God says is true. And we believe it. We stand on it. Even though we can't completely explain it. So, after Jesus rose from the dead, the question was, are they going to believe it? Well, you know, Jesus came back to the earth and spent a lot of time with them. because he knew Doubting Thomas needed to meet with him. And so the Lord proved, and history shows, that he visited the people many times. And here it is over 2,000 years later. And the question is still, do you trust the resurrection? Do you believe the power of God raised Jesus from the dead and can make you new right now? Paul answered this question when he was writing to the church in Rome, because he wanted to make clear the proper response to the empty tomb. And that's in Romans 10, 9 to 10. Please read it with me. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the way to experience the power of God that can make us new is a two-step process. Paul says, first, you must declare it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And this means that we demonstrate that Jesus is our authority by the things we say and the things that we do. And it is the outward evidence of an inward conviction. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. And we declare that over every situation in our life, regardless of what it looks like. Sometimes you just need to speak it out and let the words go out into the atmosphere. Jesus is Lord. We're declaring with our mouth. And the second thing Paul said was, you've got to believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Our hearts must be convinced that the power of God is real. And so the first step is an intellectual exercise, declaring with your mouth. But the second step is an exercise in trust. Do we trust the Word of God and that God will perform what he said he would do? And it can be illustrated by this. Right now, you're sitting in a chair. We sit in chairs every day, and it's an act of faith. First, we must intellectually conclude the chair can be sat in, and it's able to hold you. And then you've got to trust it to hold you by putting your weight in it and resting in its strength. And the same is true for our faith in Jesus Christ. So to celebrate the empty tomb without making this fundamental decision to trust in Jesus' resurrection power is to miss the point completely. And that is what Paul was talking about. You've got to declare it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that the tomb is empty, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that you can be made new. And it is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. It's possible to have faith in the resurrection because that will ensure us that we are in Christ. And that's our goal, is to be in Christ and Christ in us. Have you ever done a remodeling project? You know, when you do a remodeling project, it's not what you originally think you're just going to do. Has anyone ever noticed that? You start tearing something out and you see something else. And it just goes on and on. Have you ever noticed that? You got to replace this. You got to replace that. Oops, you broke that. And so it always becomes more work than what you thought. Remodeling projects. Pastor Leonard and I have done several, and it's always an adventure. But you know, the Apostle Paul is talking about a remodeling project that the Spirit of God can do on the inside of us. It's a transformation in our lives. And the disciples were transformed by Jesus Christ, by the word, by his truth. And they become a bold witness for him, and they impacted the entire world. And the Apostle Paul, he was saying in 2 Corinthians, that's the same thing that he expects of us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So what he's telling us is that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can become new creatures. And you know, the first creation took place in a garden in the book of Genesis. And God created humankind without sin, and they existed in a perfect relationship with him. And then the Bible tells us that after sin entered the world, everything was broken and in disrepair. And man could no longer walk with God in the garden. And this is why Jesus did what he did. It was his broken body and shed blood on the cross that paid the price for our forgiveness of sin and restored us. He restored us to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And this transformation process begins to take place in our soul. And sometimes we find things in our soul that we didn't even realize was there. You know, you learn things about yourself as God shines his light into your heart and begins to transform you and change you. And so it's like a remodeling project. It's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. A lot of people have said, well, I didn't know that it would be so much warfare or so much trouble just being a Christian. Well, you know, Jesus had a lot of trouble. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I overcame the world. So God can restore us. And isn't it interesting that Jesus' body was laid in a tomb in a garden? It's in the second garden that a new creation took place. All our old ways of living are replaced with new ones. Jesus takes our selfishness and replaces it with generosity. He takes our anger and replaces it with love. He takes our addiction and replaces it with freedom. He heals our brokenness and binds up our wounds, and he loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. He's worthy of our faith, hope, love, and devotion. Somebody say he's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof of the power of God today. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is alive and he wants to do a work in us, you can invite him in to do that remodeling work that only he can do. Tell your neighbor, only Jesus can do that. The real power of resurrection was demonstrated 2,000 years ago, but it's also demonstrated every day in the lives of people who are following Jesus Christ. When people see your life change, when people see that you're victorious over a sinful past, when people see you rise to a newness of life, and when they see that old man start to die, how many of you experienced the old man dying? We're not talking about a physical old man. I had a sister-in-law that always called my brother the old man. And I always thought of the scripture when she called him the old man. When the old man begins to die, it's noticeable because the new man starts living. And we've all experienced this transformation. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's dwelling in each one of us. And because people can see, you see, we were in a grave of sin. And people experience and witness the change that's in you. You rose up out of that grave of sin. And you have newness of life because of resurrection power. And Jesus said it like this. This is our last scripture. He said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive resurrection power and we receive eternal life. Thank you, Lord. So the two women, they had to make a choice when they got to that tomb, whether or not they would trust the good news or if they would just ignore the evidence that was right in front of them. The resurrection was good news, and it changed the lives of the disciples. And like I said, they impacted the world. And we have the same choice to make that the women did. When we choose faith, we can be found in Jesus Christ and our lives can be made new. So I'm going to ask you to just repeat this prayer after me this morning. It's a prayer for resurrection of our lives. God, I believe that the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. I ask you to come into my heart and make me new. Remove all the sin in my life and replace it with your Spirit. Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. Thank you for making me a new creation. Now we are going to get ready to pray for people, and praise team is going to sing a song as we pray. But if there is an area in your heart, if there's an area in your life that you desire a touch of the resurrection power of God, I encourage you to come this morning during this song. I'm going to ask the elders to come, and we'll be all across the front here, and you can come to any one of us for prayer this morning just to receive a touch from your spiritual oversight from the elders. We pray a prayer of faith over you. You can come and share what that area of your life is, and we want to touch you and pray for you and anoint you this morning. So during this song, let's all stand. I encourage you, if you want prayer, to come on up at this time.